If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Romans, chapter 12. The book of Romans, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Scripture that you're very familiar with, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want to preach to you a message I have titled, very simply, Nothing to Lose. Nothing to Lose. You may be seated. As a follower of Jesus Christ, we have hope that is different from the hope of the world. Maybe you remember being a kid and hoping that you didn't have to go to school the next day because it might snow. Or as an adult, the hope that you have a promotion coming in the job that you have worked toward. There's nothing wrong with hoping for either of those things. But in those situations, there is no way to have confidence in those, in either of those things that you're hoping for. It's pretty much a 50-50 shot. You're just hoping that this thing works out in your favor. But my hope in God removes the guessing game. It's not a 50-50 shot. I don't have a chance at having a hope in God, at having a good outcome in God. Although it is absolutely true that we do not know what tomorrow holds, and we do not know what the future may bring, we do know who holds the tomorrow. At every tomorrow that we will ever face, and your confidence can be put in him without any fear. God's word tells us that he is always working something in us. He doesn't start working on you and then leave you alone to try to figure out the rest of it on your own. I started it, but you got to try to figure it out the rest of the way. His word says, he that began a good work in you, he is able to finish that work. He's able to do that work, to complete it. And that is why we can have hope. You've got nothing to lose by pouring every ounce of your hope into Christ, because it's the only place that can be backed up with any kind of confidence. If there is one thing that you will hear this little woman say in life, it is this: God is always calling us to him. He is always drawing us to himself. And the fight for you and I to be able to hear that calling or feel that drawing comes from us living in this present world, but trying not to be of this world. You and I have a culture of endless messages that come to our eyes, our ears, our minds at a speed that no generation before us could even begin to comprehend. They come at us from high-speed devices that we carry around in our hands or in our pockets all day long. There's not really even enough time for you to process all that you've already seen and heard before the next wave comes at you. All of your senses are assaulted with messages and things and information and ideas, and for you to feel this way about this thing and that thing. That is why we have to be so intentional and careful not to be distracted from the things that matter the most. So first of all, I want to present to you in this thought of having nothing to lose. If you're really going to live a life where you have nothing to lose, number one, you've got to count it all joy, even when it's really, really hard. When you consider this idea that I've said, nothing to lose, what does that make you think of? What comes to your mind when you think, oh, I've got nothing to lose? When I think of this phrase, when I say nothing to lose, to me, it actually causes me to feel a sense of determination swelling up on the inside of me. It causes me to think that whatever obstacle might present itself to keep me from obeying Christ or to keep me from growing in the places that He would have me to operate from, they are not even worth my consideration. Those things that would keep me from Christ are not even worth a moment of my consideration. The hindrances in your walk with Christ that are always going to be present. I don't care who you are. Hindrances are always going to be present in this world. But if I am really living according to the Word of God, I know in my spirit that I have absolutely nothing to lose when I give it all I've got. I'll be very honest with you this morning. This past week has been a rough one. In the last 6 days, I've driven 12 hours, spent sleepless nights with children vomiting all over me for 24 hours. I had two children vomiting in the bed at the same time last night. I stayed back there to stay away from everybody, sitting in that chair saying, Lord, I've got 1 ounce of strength left to walk to that pulpit, but I've got nothing to lose by walking up there and pouring it out again, because I know if I pour myself out for Christ, He is always going to meet me at the place where you feel like you've got nothing left, and you realize that His strength is your strength. You've got nothing to lose by giving everything you are to Christ. Nothing. You can go ahead and mark it down. There will be obstacles. There will be barriers. There will be potholes in your road. There will be hard places, trials, struggles, temptation, insecurities, whatever you want to call that it. It's always going to be working to find a way to stop you, not only in your walk with Christ, but in your growth with Christ. You remember that story of Mary who went in and she broke her alabaster box of perfumed oil on Christ. She comes in. She came in. She went beyond the barriers of her culture. Jesus was sitting in a room with men. Mary was not allowed. She was not invited to go into that room as a woman in that culture. But she broke down the barriers of her culture, the walls that would have kept her. What would everybody think about her going and in and doing this to Jesus? And she broke her box. She went in and poured herself out on the Master anyway. You know why? Because her focus was correct. Jesus had been talking to all of His disciples in that room, and while their minds, all of the minds are spinning, the wheels are spinning, trying to figure out, what is He talking about? What did He mean by that? We don't know what you meant by that, Jesus. And while they are trying to understand just exactly what Jesus could possibly have meant by what He said, Mary was listening with her love. She was listening to Jesus with her love. While everybody else's mind was trying to work it out, Mary actually heard Jesus. And she chose to live that moment holding nothing back, because she knew that she had nothing to lose by running hard after Jesus. When you choose Him, you choose Jesus. And I'm not talking about just the day that you chose Him and got saved and went to an altar and asked Him into your heart. I mean when you choose Jesus over your own barriers, and you choose Jesus over your own problems, and you choose Jesus over your own insecurities, and you choose Him over your fears that try to stop you, and you choose Him above anything else today, tomorrow, and the next day, and you make a choice again to choose Jesus, He will not leave you hanging. He will always make you know that you lost nothing in that choice that you made. But you have to know that sometimes that choice is going to be uncomfortable. And you need to know that in your heart and your mind, as you walk with the Lord, the biggest lie that your enemy will tell you is that if you're serving God, everything's supposed to be good, everything's supposed to be easy, nothing's supposed to go wrong. How many do you know that quit because they said, I started serving God and I never fought battles like I fought since I turned to Jesus? Because they believe the lie that when you turn to Jesus, it's going to be smooth sailing. Many people have laid down their walk with God because after they got over the initial first love stage and things started getting really difficult, they bought into the lie from an enemy that said, if God really loved you, he wouldn't have let those hard things happen. Or they bought into the lie that if God was really real and you were really saved, you wouldn't have that kind of temptation. If you really loved God and this whole thing was real, you wouldn't be dealing with that kind of temptation in your life. The devil is a liar, and he is always trying to undermine what God is working in you. That is why the Bible tells us in James chapter 1 to count it all joy, even when you encounter I feel the Holy Ghost helping me to preach to somebody this morning. James chapter 1 says to count it all joy, even when you encounter all kinds of temptation. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. This verse is often quoted, and people try to imply that when you're going through a really tough time, maybe the most trying battle that you've ever been in your life, that you need to just put on a happy face and brave your way through it. But that is not at all what James meant when he penned those words. Happiness is not what James was writing about when he said, count it all joy. When you don't hit any red lights on your way home, that makes you happy. When you get your favorite dessert, that makes you happy. Come on, don't leave me out on that. You know, when somebody sits down a big old dessert piled high with strawberries and whipped cream all in front of you, that makes you happy. Puts a smile. Ooh, man, look at that. How am I going to fit that in this belly after I already ate that meal? But I bet I can. There's nothing wrong with being happy. Happiness is a gift. Happiness is a gift. And actually, in this day and hour, happy people are kind of few and far between. How often do you pass somebody in the store who's actually happy? They look pleasant. They have a pleasant expression on their face. It is more rare and rare these days. But even being happy will not sustain you in a fallen world. We were never promised that being a child of God would be easy. In fact, God's word tells us there will be trials and they are going to come your way. It's amazing to me when I think about most of the authors in the New Testament who wrote about hope and they wrote about faith and they wrote about trusting in God and counting it all joy. They were writing those words from a prison cell. Some of them were even waiting on their own execution when they said, count it all joy and give it your all. They knew that they had nothing to lose and everything to gain by simply giving it all to the one who had given it all for them. Count it all joy when it's really hard. Number two, our pretense is a waste before God. No man or woman should talk bigger than what they are. There is a world of difference between what we say and what we do. And as the intensity strengthens in the enemy's camp of our world, we've got to realize, people of God, that last week's anointing and yesterday's anointing is no match for today. You've got to know who you are. We say a lot of things, but who are we really? The Apostle Paul is writing here in the book of Romans chapter 12 that we read this morning, and he says, I am telling you this through the grace that was given to my own life. He says, I'm saying this through the own grace that was given to me. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Obviously, the Apostle Paul had fought this battle. He perhaps fought it to the very end. He admits that he has had to have this grace applied to his own life to deal with this pretense. He was, after all, the Pharisee of all Pharisees. Who knows how many languages that he spoke? Who knows if he understood the law better than any other man that lived? Who knows if there was ever anyone who was more zealous, crossed every I, dotted every I, and crossed every T? But he acknowledges freely that the grace of God made him know that he was not truly on a mission for God like he thought he was on. And the Lord Jesus comes along and knocks him to the ground. Knocked that pretense out of him. And once again, you see Jesus calling a man to him. That word pretense, in a simple definition, means that there has been an attempt to make something appear true that is not the case. It's another word for hypocrite. Pretense is a waste before God. Making it look like we are something that we are not is a waste before God. He'll always come along and knock you to the ground. And then he'll say, now come to me. Follow me. One infamous character in the Word of God who always talked big. Can you guess who it was? It was a man named Peter. And after spending 3.5 years with Jesus, Peter ultimately denies the man because it became hard to follow Jesus. He rebelled against something that got too hard for him, and in return to something that was familiar, fishing. But what Peter did not realize is that once God calls you out, you'll never be able to go back to the way it was. And even if you try to go back to how it was before Jesus called you out like Peter did, it won't be easy. Peter went back to that familiarity of fishing. He works all night long and he catches absolutely nothing on his own. And then you keep reading the story and you will see where Jesus shows up on the shore and he tells Peter, throw your net on the other side. And until his nets break, you remember the story, his net breaks from the fish. Jesus knew Peter was struggling. Peter had been the one full of zeal, not even realizing that this idea that he thought he was, this zealot for Christ, wasn't the reality of his heart when everything got tough. Jesus knew that one of those that he had called, one of those that had followed him, had messed up, and he was struggling and he's hurting because of the mistake that he had made, and he was no doubt embarrassed by the foolishness of his actions. But because God is always calling us to himself, you will find Jesus out there on the shore saying, Peter, did you catch anything? I can hear the frustration in Peter's voice as he answers that question. He didn't know it was Jesus. He answers the question and he says, no. No, we've worked all night. We've toiled all night long and I caught nothing. But I don't believe that response was coming from Peter simply because his net was empty of fish. That was coming from his heart, from the turmoil that was going on inside the man. Because what you see on the outside is a result of what is going on. Hey! I said, what you see on the outside is a result of what is going on the inside of a man or a woman. Peter's out there struggling with the fact that they had worked alongside Jesus. They had worked and they had toiled and they had followed him for 3.5 years, and it felt like it was an exhausting long night of toiling and believing and trying, and now he feels like it was all for nothing because Jesus died. There was no pretense left in Peter at that moment. He was spent of everything that he said he was. All the hot air was gone. You hear me? There's coming a day to our great nation when all of the hot air in the church house is going to be gone. I'm telling you. I don't know what you fully think of me, but I do know that God has talked to me. And in the wee hours of this morning, this past week, not only was I wrestling with vomiting children and trying to keep going and working and doing and being and all of that stuff, but in the middle of the night, I literally felt like I was wrestling with something sinister that had been unleashed in our nation. Felt like there was something awful and filthy and dirty coming into our nation. And I laid there in the middle of the night pleading with God to have mercy. God, have mercy on your people. God, call your people. God, draw your people. Bring them close to you, because I know that the hot air is going to be knocked out of your church. There was no pretense left in Peter. He was spent of everything that he said he was. The hot air was gone. Perhaps he was even disappointed in himself that he was not what he thought he was. Have you ever been there? I have. A struggle, a trial, an opposition, a battle, an unexpected conflict arises. Somebody gets mad at you and you didn't do anything, and they're suddenly lying about you and in your face. And all the ways that you thought you would handle that disappeared out your window of life, and you realized, wait a minute, I am not dealing with this the way that I thought I would handle this. But here's the hope that we have. Praise God for hope that does not make me ashamed to declare that even when Peter messed up, and even when Peter was at the end of himself, and he had been full of nothing but hot air, and even when Peter was disappointed in his own actions, Jesus still showed up on the shore and called Peter back to him. He still showed up and called him back. You see, you've got nothing to lose by following Christ to the very end, to the very end of your comfort, to the very end of your strength, to the very end of your ability. Nothing to lose. Your own feelings that make you feel like you're losing out, that make you feel like things are not working out. Feelings that will make you feel like you have missed out. But feelings cannot be trusted. And if I stopped right there, put the microphone down, and walked away from this pulpit, I've said enough for us to try to live out for the rest of our lives. Feelings will trick you. They will isolate you. They will punish you unnecessarily. How many of us are so wrapped up in our feelings of God must be disappointed in me? Wrapped up in our feelings of I'm not good enough for God to use me. Wrapped up in our feelings of God just must be remembering. I remember what I did in the past, so it must be on God's mind. No, those feelings will lie to you. When you heard God calling you to himself and you felt that drawing and you said, here's my life, come in and wash it. He forgot everything that you were, and now all he's interested in is calling you closer and closer and closer and closer. Pretense is a waste before God. You have nothing to lose by just being real before God, because he knows you better than you know yourself anyway. Pretense has to be crucified. Peter had to have all of that knocked out of him. He had been out there working all night just to catch some fish, and he probably did not want to throw that net another time. Can you just feel, just for a minute? I've been working, I've been preaching, I've been praying, I've been following you, I've been picking up the baskets of bread. You pray, probably while he was throwing the net 500 times that night, he probably said, yeah, that was a waste of my time picking up all that, picking up all those baskets of bread just for Jesus to leave us here. We thought he was going to be the king. Can you hear? Can you just feel the humanity of what Peter must have been feeling? He didn't want to throw that net another time. He said, I've already thrown it. Didn't catch anything. You will find yourself there at some point or another in your walk with the Lord. I don't really want to. I don't really want to. But you know what Peter said? Nevertheless, at your word, I will. I don't really want to. But nevertheless, at your word, Lord, if I can hear you telling me, if I can hear you calling me, drawing me, at your word, I will. I'll start again. I'll start building again. I'll start digging again. I'll start praying again. I'll start fasting again. I'll go back. I'll revisit the old paths that I've known. I'll start again, Lord, at your word. I will, nevertheless, even though I'm tired, I will launch out into the deep again because I know that I've got nothing to lose if you're telling me to do it. Count it all joy, even when it's hard. You've got nothing to lose by letting all of the pretense be knocked out of you, even if it doesn't feel nice. I had him do that to me, I promise you. I promise you. Everything that I thought I was as a young minister, he knocked that out of me. God is calling you to himself. Jesus himself will make sure that your nets are filled with provision if you'll just do what he says. And number three, that moment of obedience, that moment of obedience in your life has the potential to feed the faith of generations. We have established that God is always calling us to himself. And if you don't feel that, if you don't hear that, if you don't feel the pulling, the drawing into a closer relationship with God, then I have to ask you to examine the pretense that may have set itself up in your life. You must decide whether you are all in or you're not, because I can promise you that our enemy is all in and he is operating with no mercy whatsoever. And will do anything, whatever it takes to keep you from growing and thriving in God. Whatever it takes, wrap you up inside your own head. Whatever it takes, wrap you up inside your feelings. Wrap you up inside of your weariness, your tiredness. He doesn't care. There's no mercy involved. Whatever it takes to keep you from growing and thriving in Christ, doesn't matter what it is, he'll use it. Even if it means convincing you that you are more than you really are. He doesn't play fair. He never will play fair. He has no limits to the depravity that he will go to try to keep you from yielding to that drawing of Christ. That drawing of the Spirit of God, that capacity to distract you is beyond belief, and it should not be underestimated. But that capacity has a limit to it. And that limit is reached whenever your enemy's attempts to distract you are met head on with your obedience to that calling and that drawing that you hear coming from the Lord. That capacity to keep you from growing has a limit to it. If it is met head on with your obedience, a moment of obedience where you are so uncomfortable to talk to that person in the store, talk to that person beside you about Jesus, ask them if they're hurting, ask them if they need prayer, and it makes you so uncomfortable to do so, but the distraction of the enemy by your feelings has a limit to it when you meet it head on with saying, God, I'll do it, and I'll do it scared. I've got nothing to lose. Nothing to lose. I've got nothing to lose. It doesn't matter how long you've known Christ. How long have you obeyed him? How long have you been living for him? And you're holding nothing back. You've got nothing withheld from him. Living with the mindset that you literally have nothing to lose by doing more. You have nothing to lose by giving more of yourself than you've ever given or done before. Because when all of that fluff and that pretense and that nonsense is gone, your moment of obedience has the opportunity to feed faith of generations. What if you momentarily obey God in the grocery store? You talk to somebody about Christ and you never see it. What if that person then seeks out a place of worship that might not be ours? What if they go find a place? They feel the Spirit tugging because you obeyed the drawing of Christ. They go find Christ, and because they do, their children get saved, and their children get saved, and their children. What if your moment of obedience affects generations? Sometimes we limit God, or we limit what we believe that God will do through us based on our background, based on our belief system, even based on our own experiences that we've had with God. We limit him because we haven't seen it yet. You will remember one day that same old Peter, that Peter that Jesus called. After all of the pretense was gone and he really is living with nothing to lose. The Bible says that he went up on a rooftop to pray and he got hungry. You ever got hungry suddenly while you were praying? I have. So you lay on your face to pray. Oh, Jesus. Hold on. Just give me 30 minutes. He went up on the rooftop to pray and he got hungry. And while he was waiting for some food to be fixed, the Lord shows him a vision. You remember what it was? Clean and unclean animals. And the Lord tells Peter, get up and kill them and eat. And Peter tells God, I can't touch those things. They are unclean. Three times, the Lord, he's still drawing, he's still calling, Peter, get up and eat, kill, eat. Lord, at the end of it, the Lord, who is always, he says to Peter, that means you'll never outgrow the calling of God on your life. He says to him again, if you do outgrow it, you're in a dangerous place. If you are beyond the Lord telling you to do something new, then your pretense has set up in your life, and you think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. He calls to Peter again, and he says, boy, don't walk around calling the things that I have said were clean. Don't walk around calling them common. Don't walk around calling them unclean. And while Peter is sitting there trying to understand what in the world the Lord could have just meant by what he has said to him, three men come walking up looking for him. And they say, go with us to the house of Cornelius, but he's a Gentile. And Peter was not exactly comfortable with the idea of doing that. But nobody said you have to be comfortable doing what the Lord said for you to do. And while what God was telling him to do did not fit in with his boundaries, it didn't fit in with his background, it didn't fit in with the confines of his experience up to that point, all Peter knew was preaching the gospel to the Jewish people. The Gentiles were avoided. Jews and Gentiles do not mix company. But the Lord comes along, he bypasses Peter's mind where he had the potential to think too much and get in the way. And he bypasses Peter's experience, his tradition, he goes past his understanding and even his own personal opinions, and he sends him to preach the gospel to someone that Peter would have never chosen to touch. And the Bible says, although that Peter did not understand it, he went to Cornelius' house doubting nothing, the Bible says. You know why? Because he had learned that the voice of Jesus calling to him would never leave him in the negative, no matter how much he didn't understand it. Please hear me. You will never lose anything by showing Christ to someone. You will never lose by giving your life as a sacrifice to the Lord. You will never lose by giving every ounce of your strength to serve him. Everyone wants, y'all just hold on to your seats right now, okay? Because if it hasn't been hard enough already, here we go. Everybody wants to love Jesus, and it's easy to talk about loving God. But when God starts getting all up in your life and your business and your pretense and your actions, and when he starts digging at your level of obedience and compassion for the lost, people start to get uncomfortable. Because so many people want the benefit of a relationship with the Lord without the responsibility of having to serve him as a living sacrifice. If you love to hear the word preached more than you love to do and live the word, then you've let yourself slip into a pothole of wanting a relationship with the things of God without wanting the responsibilities of that relationship. But there's something that leaps on the inside of me when I hear or I read about someone who did more than just hear, and they followed their hearing with doing. Everyone was in the room with Jesus, heard him that night when Mary came in with her box. But don't you just feel something happen on the inside of you when you read about the one who did more than just hear? Don't you feel something stir all these generations later when you read about God knocking that Pharisee to the ground and saying, I'm going to change your name and you're going to be mine and I'm calling you to... Doesn't something begin to move in your heart when you read about Peter messing up, but Jesus calling him out of that mess and then sending him to preach to the Gentiles? It should cause something to move in you, because without Peter's obedience to go to Cornelius's house and preach to the Gentiles, you and I might not be sitting here right now. Peter's obedience had an effect on you right now and me. On the other side of your moment of obedience, there's a harvest. That moment of deciding you've got nothing to lose by being obedient to that drawing, that tugging, that pulling, that wooing, that nudging, it has the opportunity to feed the faith of generations to come. Think about that. Your obedience to God will outlast your lifetime. Don't focus on the discomfort of the moment. You got nothing to lose. Would you stand with me this morning?